16-3. That doesn't sound so bad, does it, Dave?
Absolutely not. I mean, even the most dreamiest of dreamers could probably not have prognosticated that the Blazers would have an 84% winning clip at this point in the season. It's something we've only seen a couple times in the team's history, and it's great.
You know, you made a great point. The Blazers, you know, are they going to sustain this type of play? And obviously not, because they're on pace to win 69 games, but they can definitely be called a playoff contender in the West, and I think that's more than what we could have hoped for before the season began.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talked before the season began about them fighting for the 7th, 8th spot, maybe. That's still a possibility. I mean, frankly, something that should make Blazer fans itch a little bit is the sheer number of teams in the West at 500 or above right now. There are 12 teams in the conference with a 500 record or greater, and the Blazers are the best of those, and they're about six, seven games ahead of the back of the pack there, but over the course of a season, you can slip back a few games pretty easily. And really, the Blazers could still end up at the bottom of the seeding if they come back to Earth. But I don't think at this point you talk about them having a low 30s winning total anymore. I don't think you talk about them missing the playoffs as a huge possibility. You think pretty much at this point they probably made it. Cross fingers, knock on wood.
Dave Deckard, BlazersEdge.com, with us here on the program. LaMarcus Aldridge, we saw what he did at Golden State. His response to the scuff. We saw him on Monday night against Indiana, 28-10, 38-13 against Oklahoma City. He looks like he's a little bit different. What are the changes you notice in his game?
Well, I think leadership, confidence, and the shot going in all the time now. He's at a Nowitzki level MVP regularity with that jump shot. It's not so much even just the percentages as your confidence. When he spots up and he gets the look, he's going to sink it. And that's had a transformational effect on the entire team, because now opposing defenses have to pay a lot of attention to LaMarcus. They cannot leave him in single coverage very often, and that leaves the three-point shooters open. So he distracts everybody, and then Batum or Lillard or Matthews cans the three, and the problem gets worse for the opponent. So he's really crossed the border, I think, from star now to superstar. And if he keeps it up over the whole season, you'll be talking about him as one of the legit top 5 or 6 players in the league.
And when it comes to Robin Lopez, has he been more than what you anticipated before the season began?
Individually, not that much. I mean, he's about what you expect, but the chemistry, the kind of weird alchemy that happens when he's operating well is more of an effect than I expected him to have. I liken him to, he's the guy who does the dirty work, and you see him doing that and kind of selling out for his teammates, which then encourages the rest of his teammates to do the same. So he's made the Blazers more physical. He's made them, I think, harder workers. He's made them pay attention more to detail just by his example, and that's been an incredible transformation to watch.
You know, Dave, we've seen the last two nights against Indiana and Oklahoma City where Coach Stotts has opened up the fourth with Dame on the floor and the four bench players, T-Rob, Darrell Wright, Mo Williams, and Joel Freeland. What are your thoughts on the way the bench has performed so far?
Well, they've done what the Blazers have needed them to do. And again, that story is a little bit like Lopez. In isolation, they all have weaknesses, and those are pretty evident. But the way Coach Stotts is using them, the way they are coming together and kind of making up for each other's faults, has allowed them to not just get away with playing these bench players, but really prosper by playing them. I mean, Mo Williams can go, 1 for 5 in the first half and then score 3 buckets in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden his game is golden. So it's really been interesting how together the sum of the parts has been, or the whole has been more than the sum of the parts there.
What are your thoughts on the offense? What I've liked so far is I've seen situations, even late in games, where the Blazers have continued to move the basketball, player movement and ball movement, and it's allowed guys to get good looks.
Absolutely. And teams that have forced the Blazers into isolation have succeeded against the Blazers, really. When you get one-on-one dribbling or shots going up without passes being made, the Blazers don't look very good. But as long as that ball is moving around and they're moving the defense, they're really deadly. And you are watching one of the most beautiful offenses we've seen here in decades.
True.
And one of the most beautiful offenses in the NBA right now. And don't miss that point. I mean, it's not every day you get to see this level of unselfishness and this level of maximizing players' skills to make buckets.
I wanted your thoughts on that play design by Terry Stotts late in the game against Oklahoma City. Less than a minute, they're up by 1 point, 105-104. Batum inbounds the ball and then makes a hard cut to the far side of the floor. He caught Durant napping, and he was supposed to dump it into the post to Aldridge, but he was wide open, and he didn't even hesitate. He went up for the shot, nailed the three, and that was the go-ahead. Pretty much put the game away for the Blazers. But I like the play design, and I also like the aggressiveness of Batum to know that that's a spot where he's got to take that shot.
Absolutely. I mean, it harkens back a little bit to the Drexler years where plays would be designed, obviously, for Clyde early on in those years. But Terry Porter always felt the green light if he had the open shot to take it, and the Blazers often won games that way. And, again, the level of unselfishness on this team, not caring who hits the shot. Or, in Batum's case, he had a tough game a little bit. He'd worked hard trying to keep Durant in check. His offense hadn't really been clicking that much. He hadn't had that many opportunities. But who is it that sinks the game winner in LaMarcus Aldridge's best outing in his career? It's Nicola Batum. So that just tells you where this team is right now and how they're clicking on all cylinders.
Do you get the same sense, like a lot of Blazer fans right now, that this team, there's a lot of role acceptance, they understand what they're supposed to do, and I think people enjoy watching this particular group of guys because it really is team basketball?
Well, and it's the perfect kind of chemistry there in that Aldridge has really stepped up his game and made himself the number one option without question. He is the man. He's always said he wanted that role, but this year his play has backed that up, which then makes everybody else comfortable with their roles. Now Batum and Matthews don't have to feel pressure to create offense off the dribble, which they can't do very well. Now Damian Lillard is okay mostly taking three-pointers. It's not like he has to score 20 and a quarter in order for the team to prosper. So it starts at the top with a clear leader, a clear number one, and that makes everybody else comfortable falling in behind him.
Hey, Dave, did you get excitement? That was so awesome at the end of the game when LaMarcus went up to the free throw line to chant of MVP, MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that game, he sure deserved it. And really, if the Blazers end up with a good record this year, if they end up, you know, 50 wins or above, then you have to at least give him some consideration. I don't think he will win it outright. His popularity isn't great enough. But if you look at comparison between him and other players at his position, who is playing as well and leading his team to as many wins as Aldridge is right now? He has really become kind of that consummate star-level player, and every chance he gets is deserved.
All right, Dave, before you go, give us one thing to watch in tonight's game against Utah and one thing to pay attention to in the matchup tomorrow against Dallas.
Well, against Utah, mostly you want to not have a letdown. One of the dangers as the season progresses is the Blazers get comfortable with their own headlines and they don't come out and play the style of ball they need to. Hopefully, there's no possible way they can lose to the Jazz because Utah is flat out horrible. But you don't want to see them lose their edge, especially since Dallas, the next night you have Monte Ellis, you have Dirk Nowitzki. Now, they shouldn't be able to beat Portland, but they could certainly challenge the Blazers, and you want the Blazers sharp and rolling for that game. So, you know, really, mostly it's keeping the momentum going, not surrendering a couple games that you worked hard to earn last week.
All right, go check out the Ultimate Blazer site, BlazersEdge.com. It's Dave Decker. Dave, enjoy your weekend. It's great to talk basketball with you once again.
Absolutely, Chad. Always a pleasure.